Shortly after her husband, Jim Elliott, and four other missionaries were speared to death trying to reach out to a tribal group in Ecuador, Elizabeth Elliott was able to live and work with the same tribe for 2 years. It's a remarkable story of forgiveness, love, and the power of the gospel to change lives. Through her visits here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth continues to reach out with the timeless message of hope and healing. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with a very special friend, Marge St. Vanderpoy. Welcome. And Marge, I think back to August of 1952, when I made my first trip to the eastern jungle of Ecuador with some older missionaries named Dr. and Mrs. Tidmarsh. And we stayed in your wonderful house there and met you and your husband, Nate. Now, could you tell us what in the world you were doing in a place like that?
That place that you're speaking of was on the edge of the Ecuadorian jungle in a little town called Chalmera that was named for the man who wrote the national anthem of Ecuador, Juan León Mera, and for the Shell Oil Company. And by putting those two together, we got Chalmera. And that's where Mission Aviation had decided to set up their base because the Shell Oil Company had a huge airfield there and would allow us to use it. And we could rent a plot of land for our base for $1 a year. So we had gone there to make a lifeline for jungle missionaries. And you were to be one of those jungle missionaries in the Tidmarshes?
Yes, and I remember Nate as a college student. I hadn't met you till I went to Chalmera that time in 1952, but when I was at Wheaton College between 44 and 48, I remember Nate slightly because I knew who the Saints were. The Saint family was very well known in the Philadelphia area, and I remember when I was growing up that Nate's older sister, Rachel, was directing the dining hall at Keswick Conference in New Jersey. So I can just remember him as what I thought of as an earnest student. I don't think I ever had a conversation with him, but how would you characterize Nate?
Oh, my. I can remember my first impression of him came through letters that a mutual friend invited me to read, and Nate was in the Air Force. And this friend and I were in nursing together. And she said, why don't you come down to my room and read some letters that my mother has just sent me from a family friend. And those letters were from Nate. And I read them, and there were some pictures. And I thought, I've gone out with other boys, young men, but never have I known one that was so committed to putting the Lord first in his life and to serving the Lord and being committed to him. I can't wait to meet this young man. Well, as the years went on, I realized that that first impression was very true of Nate. And I think of the story that his father tells, that when Nate was a little boy, his father was making stained glass windows for the National Cathedral in Washington. And he went around the neighborhood looking for a little boy that could be his model for the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, who was willing to give Jesus everything that he had. And he looked around the community and came back home empty-handed. And he said to his wife, why did I look when right here in our home we have a little boy that would be my model? And that was Nate. So even at an early age, I think his parents saw that commitment and dedication in his life. And then he went through a severe illness with osteomyelitis, which drew him even closer to the Lord. And that's the way I think of him on the spiritual side. As far as a husband, I think of him as a very loving husband, very kind to me. I remember only one time that he ever spoke harshly with me, and that was when we were caught in bad weather in a little airplane here in the United States. And I pled with him to turn around and go back, and he said, don't you ever tell me how to fly this airplane. And that's the only time I remember. As far as a father, he really loved his kids. And I think that when he was gone, that was the one overwhelming feature of his death, was now this influence that my children so much need is gone. And then, Elizabeth, I remember when you and Jim were in our home, and after a meal, you said to me, how could you sit there and not just shake with laughter? Because you loved Nate's sense of humor, and I
sure
loved
did.
It too. But I may have heard some of those things before.
Maybe a few
and
times.
So I didn't laugh holding my sides like you did, but he had a terrific sense of humor, not in telling jokes, but just in turning a phrase or reminding people of something that was humorous.
I remember his tenderness too, Marge. As you recall, my baby Valerie was born in your house just a month after your baby, Philip, and we were sitting at the dinner table, maybe the next day or so, might even been the same day, but Valerie was crying. And Nate said, isn't it a good thing that the Lord made a baby's cry absolutely unbearable for us human beings? If he hadn't done that, the human race would never have survived. Well, I couldn't have agreed more. I mean, it is the most irritating sound in the world to the parents. It's bad enough to anybody else, but parents can't stand it. And the next day he came to me and he said, Betty, he said, I've got an apology to make to you. And I couldn't imagine what was coming. He said, you know, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings by what I said about that baby's cry. Well, that had never crossed my mind, but he was so sensitive. He just wanted to be sure that I didn't think that he was furious at having to have a crying baby in his house. Well, we could go on and on. He was a wonderful guy, just a wonderful guy. He served how many stations, Marge?
I think about 13 or 14.
To a number of different tribes, right?
Yes, they would be to different tribes. And then in addition to that, he did flying to keep our status with the Ecuadorian government. He would often land at an army outpost, but we didn't really count those because we didn't serve them regularly.
Mm-hmm. Well, Marge was always on the radio. We could hear her cheerful voice every morning. And there was one day when Nate came in to our station, Shandia, where Jim and I were working with the Quechua Indians, to tell us that he had discovered the whereabouts of a tribe called Aucas, A-U-C-A, people that were greatly feared, Stone Age people. We knew next to nothing about them, except that they were Stone Age, they wore no clothes, and they killed strangers. And Nate had a vision. What was it?
To reach those people with the gospel. And he believed that the Lord had given us a tool, the little mission airplane that would make it possible for us to locate where those people were living. We knew the general area, but no one knew exactly where they lived, and they were a bit nomadic. But that, as you say, it was a wonderful day when Nate and Ed McCulley and two Quechua Indians flying over that area located those Alka houses.
And so began something called
Operation Alka.
Many of our listeners know the story that all five of these men were speared to death. What was your response to Nate's death?
Elizabeth, I had been in on the many of the planning sessions of the five men before they went to the Alcas. And it was just a great thing to see how the Lord led them step by step by step. And I've thought many times that, I guess in my heart, when I knew they were missing, I thought, this is the next step. Now, where is the Lord going to lead us from here? And I could believe God that this was part of his plan. The thing I couldn't quite believe him for was, how could I raise three children without Nate?
But you did. I wish we had more time. But what has happened since then, Marge?
Well, I was a widow for 10.5 years with many people praying for you and the other three and myself and our children. And I think God answered those prayers, and they were happy and good years. And I thought of myself as, happily thought of myself as Nate's widow, and never wanted to remarry, at least until my children were all raised. And then a widower that had been a family friend came into my life, Abe Vanderpoy, and he had three children, and we joined our families together. And now it's a great joy, and with thanksgiving, we say to the Lord, thank you that all of those children are following you.
Thank you so much, Marge. My guest today was Marge St. Vanderpoy. Her husband, Nate, was one of the five missionaries killed in Ecuador in 1956. It's amazing to think of the sovereignty of God and the ways in which He has turned what seemed a disaster into tremendous, unmeasured blessing. I think all five of us meet people almost literally everywhere we go that tell us that the story of these men has changed their lives. Thanks again, Marge.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.